With the election over, what's next for Massachusetts? I'm Carrie Healy, and this is Beacon Hill in 5, our quick look at the week ahead in politics and government in Massachusetts. We're joined now by Matt Murphy with the State House News Service. Thanks for your time, Matt.
Thanks for having me.
Hey, how did last week's election shake up the State House? Is there more diversity, either gender or racial, in the legislative body now?
There are. Well, you know, certainly a lot of new faces coming to Beacon Hill after the election, either through retirements. There are some incumbents who lost and some people who took their chance at running for different offices and seats. And what we saw was a large number of women competing for these seats. And in the House, well, actually in the House and Senate, women are going to hold 57 of the 200 seats when the legislature convenes in January. And that is a net gain of 5 seats. So, you know, it is still not completely representative of Massachusetts at large, but some small steps of progress there. On the racial diversity front, we saw a lot of Black and Hispanic lawmakers leaving the legislature this session and also being replaced by newer faces for basically what is going to be a net wash. I think we're going to see similar numbers of Black and Hispanic lawmakers in the legislature when the new class comes in.
There are going to be 5 new faces representing Western Massachusetts in the legislature come January. Is that unprecedented to have so many newbies from one particular region? And is that going to put them and Western Mass at a disadvantage?
Yeah, I mean, this was certainly a very unique situation where you had some retirements, unfortunately, and sadly some death out in the region that kind of wiped out an entire fairly, you know, veteran group of lawmakers on Beacon Hill. And new faces coming in there, they will have some learning to do, some catch up. They, you know, obviously will be able to work with their Senate delegation and partner with the senators to kind of help them through and make sure that they are delivering for their districts. But, you know, anytime you lose the years of experience that people like Peter Kokod and John Cybak and others had, it hurts.
Were there any election upsets that took you by surprise?
You know, there are certainly some upsets. I mean, one of the big ones up in the Andover-Merrimack Valley area where a longtime veteran conservative, Jim Lyons, lost his reelection to Tram Nguyen, a newcomer, a Democrat who raised really impressive amounts of campaign funds, over $168,000 for a House race, which was really startling. There were a couple of seats. The Democrats ultimately flipped 3 seats, picking up 3, 2 in the House, 1 in the Senate. But by and large, I think across the state, the election turned out the way we thought it would.
There was a Globe infographic look at the communities across the state who voted for America's favorite governor, Republican Charlie Baker, who beat out Democrat Jay Gonzalez. Now, on that, you see most of the towns that supported Gonzalez kind of clustered. They're west of the Quabbin Reservoir. Matt, how is this lack of support from Western Massachusetts likely to affect Baker's to-do list?
I'm not sure you're going to see it affect much. I mean, I'm hesitant to call it a lack of support. As you mentioned, there are clusters out there for Jay. That's where he did kind of the strongest, that and the greater metro Boston area where he won, though surprisingly not by huge margins. I mean, he actually only won the city of Boston by about 3,000 votes, which is impressive for a Republican governor. But I think if you look, you know, especially in a year when these elections seem to have been motivated in large part by what was going on at the federal level in places like Berkshire County, except for those pockets you mentioned down in southern Berkshire County, you know, voted for Charlie Baker. I mean, that is a strong showing for the Republican governor. And, you know, even in the places where he maybe didn't do so well or Jay edged him out, I think back to him campaigning in Springfield in the closing days of the election where elected Democrats from the House and from the legislature were there cheering, championing the governor, calling him the quarterback of the state, is how Springfield Rep. Bud Williams described him. So clearly there's an affinity out there for the governor, for the Republican, even though he has an R next to his name. And there are Western Mass lawmakers who are clearly willing to work with this governor to get things done out there. So I think you'll see that continue to happen.
Matt Murphy, reporter and associate editor with the State House News Service in Boston. Thanks so much for joining us, Matt.
Thanks for having me.
This is Beacon Hill in 5, NEPR's weekly check-in at the State House. It's also a podcast. You can subscribe to it wherever you get yours or at nepr.net/podcast hub. This is New England Public Radio.